Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're not mad at the Mavericks. We're just disappointed. It's the Hoops and Hefeweizens podcast, everybody. Hi, everybody. I'm Don Denham. You can find me on Twitter at Don_Denham. With me, as always, is my fellow Mavs fan for life, my bro host, Ruben Tomas, also known as Reddit Mavericks. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing better than the Mavs are doing this week. That's for sure.
Ups and downs, huh?
I mean, Jesus. I mean, I was at the game yesterday, you know,
sure,
as an early birthday present, and it was not a fun time. It got fun at the fourth quarter, but like, because Tim just like decided, okay, I can play basketball now. And
right.
Yeah. I mean, there were just like so many mental errors this week, it seems like. And just like, mm-hmm. And obviously, like Luka being out, KP being out, whatever, like that affects it too. But I mean, like, just like, you gotta be able to at least like have close games when your best players aren't playing well. So mm-hmm. I don't know, man. Like you can definitely like, and obviously like the Grizzlies. I'm talking about yesterday. Like the Grizzlies had like, you know, their best player out, but you know Jaren Jackson's there, and unfortunately for every Mavs fan on the planet, Desmond Bane is there, and Desmond Bane had like the game of his career so far with 29 points, which is great.
Yeah, it's a nice little reminder. For those of you who do not know, we could have had him.
Yeah.
We currently have, we got Josh Green, who cannot find the floor. Have we told him where the floor is? Did anybody, does Jason Kidd know who Josh Green is? Because if I'm going to look at his box scores as of recently, I do not think he has played significant minutes.
Desmond Bain talked about this last night.
Yeah.
He was like, Josh Green was picked in front of me and I don't even think he saw the floor. And I was like, God damn, I feel so bad for Josh. Like he did not ask for this, but
right.
I mean, dude, I don't know. You know, I know Kirk Serious Face, like, quote tweet or something like that, but someone posted a picture of a game against the Grizzlies in 2016, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like that game was like, I think we lost, it was like 80-65. Like we didn't even like hit 70 points.
Right.
And I was looking at it and I was like, I looked at the rosters and I was like, wow, like both these rosters really suck. But two of the guys who played for the Mavs started yesterday.
Right.
So I was like, and one of those guys wasn't even a starter. Like, I think it was like Dwight Powell was like off the bench. And I was like, this is insane that like we have two guys like from the lean years. Like, I think it was
still on the roster.
Yeah. Still on the roster. Still like getting starting minutes or mm-hmm. starting anyway. It's like, dude, like don't do this. Like, why are like, how incompetent do we have to be to like, you know, and like, I don't know, man, just like, every loss like hurts that much more because there's like guys on their team where I'm like, damn, I wanted that guy. We could have had that guy. Or like, you know, or just like,
sure,
you know, it's just one of those things for me where I'm just like, this could have been really great. Like, you know, obviously like building around Luka should not be a hard, you know, it should not be a hard thing. Like,
go ahead.
No, you go.
Where I'm confused is we want to build up around Luka, right? And it seems the Mavericks strategy is let's get him some guys that have been playing for a while that are tough, you know, like, so there's this establishment that like, you know, Tim Hardaway Jr. and Dwight Powell and Dorian Finney-Smith and Max, like these guys, or I think maybe I have less problems with them. Maybe a better example is like, all right, let's bring in Reggie Bullock and Sheldon Brown. Vets that we know do certain things. That's what's going to help Luka. But, you know, as much as I would like to think that that's like a, all right, cool, that's a win now mentality, like those guys haven't really been producing. So why are we not developing some of this younger talent that we've acquired? And because to me, that timeline actually makes more sense for Luka. You know, why not develop these young dudes with Luka? Like, they're not that different in age. You know what I mean? Like, if we have like this young ascending star in Luka, and like, I know we have kind of a shot clock in the sense of like, we're trying to get as good as possible as soon as possible, but like, we're not. Last night confused me of why are we not playing guys like Moses Brown and Josh Green? Why are we not developing them in a game that's already like, all right, the top three players in this game are all on the bench because of injury, you know, Ja Morant, KP, Luka. Why are these guys not getting play? Why are we running these other role players into the ground? Like, I don't quite understand what's going on there. And again, it's just kind of this, it's not offensively bad. Like, it's not bad. It's mediocre, and I think that's what's most infuriating, is like, we want to see these guys get really, really good, and we've had some really awesome wins, but man, some of these losses are just absolute head-scratchers, and it just, like, I don't know if it's a, maybe this is a generational thing where basketball players, in, you know, quote, in this generation, where they're down, and then eventually they just like, okay, we're just not coming back, screw it. Like, is this maybe like a regular season problem where, all right, well, I just don't feel like showing up because this game's pretty, you know, why am I going to bust my ass for basically just another W where we could probably make it up someplace else? I don't know. It's a mentality thing, and I don't quite, it's, again, it's not so bad that I feel like it's doom and gloom for the Mavericks. It's just frustrating because it's like, it could be a lot better. And it seems like that could be a lot better isn't just luck things. It's not just injury things. It's like, why are we so committed to certain players that have not produced? And that's, I guess that's the thing that I'm not quite understanding.
Yeah. I mean, it's perplexing. Like, and I tweeted last night, I was like, Nico like has, I don't envy his job at all coming up. You know, like, I think the microscope is slowly, you know, getting geared towards the front office finally. I know that obviously there was a lot of talk. I know Twitter is an echo chamber a lot of times. And
yes,
and honestly, like the most ravenous fans I feel like are on Twitter, where it's just like all of us are constantly, you know, live tweeting the game, like instant reaction shit, you know, which has kind of been the bread and butter of like my Twitter account for as long as I've had it. But
right.
Yeah, you know, it's like, but I think once like the big media ESPN people like start actually like going after the front office and Cuban and talking about it, and it's like, oh, okay, actually, you know, maybe things will change. You know, I don't know, like Cuban seems way more interested in talking about NFTs and like crypto, which I mean, cool, you know. But if that's the case, then like hiring Nico is a good, you know, would might be a good step forward, but like then like have no responsibility on the basketball side, just let Nico sign these players, you know, like let Nico spend money basically, you know.
I get it. I don't really know what money there is to spend. I don't really know where to point the finger of blame. I know it's his first year with us, but like there's a lot of like Nico can't, you know, give certain players minutes. Like I'm looking at rotational things that I don't quite understand. And again, I feel okay. It's much like in football where there's like a fourth and long, but the play is just like a short check down. Or okay, let's say maybe third and long, and then it's just a short check down, and really you're just playing to just like, all right, you're just kind of already saying like, all right, I'm just playing it safe. And I feel like that's a lot of like our rotations here. Like we haven't gotten anything weird. We haven't experimented with anything. We haven't really given young guys a chance to, you know, develop and to shine. I feel like we've been overly reliant on, like I said, underproducing veterans. And I mean, maybe this is just the trials and tribulations of a, you know, of a regular season. But I mean, there's just a lot of times where I feel like, you know, we either haven't built the right team around Luka, or we're not developing a strategy that to where Luka can succeed. Because I don't think anyone can doubt how talented the kid is. And, you know, we've got some top tier talent on this team, but I don't think there's been a collective brain trust of like, all right, this is the best way of utilizing this player. Because there's just been too many games where it seems like Luka's the only person producing. And I will say that I was actually in the building for the Wizards-Mavs game a couple the other Saturday.
Yeah.
And I will say our offense, you know, aside from a couple of like flashes of independent genius where it's like, all right, cool, Jalen made a great drive or Timmy made a great shot. It's like we're so reliant on just hopefully Luka's step backs fall. And like, don't get me wrong, I love watching a Luka step back. It's a pretty deadly weapon. However, I don't feel like that's smart offense. You know, that to me isn't, all right, cool, that's the best shot that we've got on this team with the talent that we have. Like, I'm not saying I have the answer to it. I'm just saying that, like, strategically, it doesn't look like we're trying to do really anything else that we haven't already done the last 2 years, which is just let Luka take over. And it's like, well, that can work. And like, it has worked. We've seen some awesome game winners from the guy and some great stat lines from him. But like, is that sustainable for a long period of time? And I feel like, I think the teams that do really well for a long time are teams that can win in a lot of different ways and are not just like just waiting for, you know, just their star player to save them out of every bad situation. You know, I think it's different when you're asking your best player to rescue all the other bad decisions you've made, as opposed to setting him up to where when they are in those clutch moments, then you can rely on him. I think there's a difference there.
Yeah. Man, this is so depressing.
Like, I mean, I'm still hopeful. I mean, like, it's the middle of the season. I mean,
yeah.
I didn't really know what to expect with the game last night. I mean, our bench has been underperformed, but I mean, like, I almost don't even blame the bench, you know, our role guys, because the role guys have been told, hey, wait and watch Luka do his thing. And then, like, when we don't have him, then, like, yeah, the offense falls apart because, you know, we didn't get a secondary ball handler. We're still relying on Jalen Brunson so hard. And, like, these are great dudes. I want to see them succeed. And, like, maybe it's just one of those things where, like, hey, we're really trusting these guys to step up, and they're not, or they're not being set up to succeed. And I don't know. I didn't have a whole lot of faith in Jason Kidd. You know, what I thought was going to be the big difference with him, bringing him on as a hire, and Nico, so replacing the Donnie Nelson, Rick Carlisle brain trust, is that I didn't feel like we were getting X's and O's and, you know, a huge turnover. I got like, okay, we're adjusting culture. We're bringing in someone that basically players are going to like. I'm like, well, that's cool. But now we have these guys that are really good dudes that are getting along just fine, not producing well. Like, at what point are we going to hold them accountable to it? And I mean, it's early in the season. We're 500. Like, I don't think that's not the sky is falling. We're the sixth seed. The West is hilarious, is weirdly a mess this season. You know, I'd much rather be a Mavericks fan right now than a Lakers fan, for instance.
Yes.
I mean, I'm really counting my blessings here. Like, this is not me hanging up the Dallas Mavericks hat and, you know, walking away forever. This is just, I want to see us improve out of mediocrity is where I'm at.
I mean, like, did you see the Blazers stuff recently?
No, I haven't.
Chauncey Billups is just throwing the team under the bus. They just fired their GM. Like, they're going through a lot right now.
Right.
My thoughts, there's probably going to be a fire sale that maybe we should look into pretty soon.
Totally. I mean, there's definitely some players in that roster I think could help us out.
Absolutely. So I was like, oh, like, I would take, there's a few guys on the team, right? But like, yeah, I'd take them. That guy instantly starts on this team. But
I think it was Mavs CBA that mentioned that he actually looked into Jonas Valanciunas' contract, and he thought he was untradeable due to some sort of, like, re-sign thing. But he's actually, I did the math wrong. He's very much tradable. And it sounds like he got the max that he could and still be tradable.
Yeah.
I don't know. And so it's like, that's an interesting idea.
Yeah. Hey, he's still tradable. Like, okay, cool. Like, let's look at this. You know, like, again, I was looking at the Pelicans team and I was like, damn, dude, I would love to get a Brandon Ingram or a Jonas Valanciunas. Like, that'd be great.
Yeah. Well, that being said, it's so weird to have blown them out in a way that I was like, okay, I can see the, to me, that's probably your best case scenario with that game, you know, with the,
yeah.
I mean, like, God, what did the Mavs shoot that game?
You talking about the win?
Yeah, the one.
It was 68.7.
Yeah,
which I was very mad that it wasn't 69. Like, it should have been.
Oh God, it's we were almost, so close. It's almost there.
We were so close, bro. I was like, oh my God, this is right. Gonna happen. This is gonna be my moment.
This is almost there, exactly. I'm so close. Yeah, all things considered, though, I mean, like, I see that peak. I'm like, okay, cool. This is what good Mavericks basketball is. Luka shooting, you know, shooting the lights out of the ball. Kristaps, you know, I said, yeah, mid-range he did all right. Like, you know, he contributed well. But, like, you got solid games out of Brunson and Hardaway. It's like, okay, I can see, like, okay, this works. This makes sense. But then us to fall to them the following one, and like, I don't quite get it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, like, here's this really high peak, and then it's just like, okay, now we feel like we took a step back. So it was two steps forward and one step back, which is better than the alternative. But I don't know. I mean, we shouldn't be losing to the... So far, our losses have been to really good teams, and I always feel I'm not a moral victory guy, but it's definitely like there's no shame in losing to a good team. Like they're good teams. They're going to win some. It's when I see the New Orleans Pelicans, Zion or not, I don't see a good basketball team. And it frustrates me when we lose to them.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like mostly this year we've won against teams that are bad. For the most
sure.
Part. Yeah, like, great. Like,
yeah, we should be able to be like, because again, I don't think we are a bad team. I don't think we need to do a fire sale. I just think it's frustrating that it seems the organization has committed to some players that are just not producing at the clip we really want them to be. Or we're settling for like, okay, here's some undrafted guys that we've developed and love and just want to see them succeed. And it's like, and we're not bringing in new sparks of energy to really, you know, move that needle. Like,
yeah,
I don't think Bullock is a bad addition. I think he makes sense, but you know, when that's the highlight of your off season, like, yeah, that's not really going to change a whole lot. You know, I feel like we're more a six seed right now because the West has been just an absolute chaos reigns. Western conferences, like which top team is like, I mean, like Phoenix is as pretty much the same. Golden State's, you know, has righted the ship, you know, but like, I don't know. Like, I'm not saying Minnesota's a good team, but they got some things to be really excited about, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But so. Anyways, so we should beat up on the bottom half. Do we have, this is the longest we've gone without an ad read. Did I mess up?
I think we do, but I mean,
let me, you know, I'm going to take a wild ass guess. Spotify Green Room, guys, listen to podcasts and then talk at them. It is an online, platform that you should download. I'm going to shout out Kirk Serious Face, going out there and really doing great post-game group therapy green rooms. I think one, it's one of the funniest names for those shows, and it's very apt. And I think that he does a good job of facilitating those things. So listen to a podcast that isn't us, because we have not set up, we have not gotten our crap together to do a green room ourselves. We'll do that at some point. Right now, we're pretty much sticking with Sundays. Spotify Green Room, download it. It's on any app store that you are really wanting to download apps. And I don't know. Omaha Steaks? No.
I looked it up.
Omaha Steaks. Making wild guesses here.
So I was one. We're doing Symbol. Use your sports knowledge on Symbol to buy low, sell high, and earn cash payouts.
When your sports team stocks. Wins.
Yep. Join the 7,000 early adopters that have started investing in their favorite teams. Visit www.symbol.com to create a free account. And when you deposit, make sure to use the promo code SD to make your deposit risk-free. We actually have a third one this week. MyBookie. It's not every day you can double your money, but with MyBookie, you double your money instantly thanks to their double deposit bonus for all users. With MyBookie's double deposit bonus, when you sign up with MyBookie.ag and use a promo code, you'll instantly receive double your initial deposit, so you can kickstart your betting experience with the best games, leagues, casinos, options to choose from.
Good read.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go ahead and get to these questions. So there are a lot of questions this week, which I appreciate. However, me and Don are on a time crunch. Yes. So I had to reduce it. So I think I halved it basically.
Sure.
So let's go. Okay. First question comes from the Milwaukee Bucks subreddit. They have also experienced Jason Kidd's coaching style. And he sent me a screenshot. I sent it to you, Don, in a text message. But it says, is this a good investment or a great investment? And it's him trying to buy a domain. And the domain is called firekid.com. So, and you can get it for 1 cent right now. So
I don't understand the marketplace for domains.
It's insane. Like, you can buy for a cent, and I'm like, what? Like, 1 penny. And I was looking at it, and I was like, that might be a good investment for someone, for a Mavs fan who wants to go and grab that real quick before the Milwaukee Bucks or Reddit does, because,
it's a bad coaching job when another team is advocating for you to be fired.
Dude.
Due to your poor performance.
I love Milwaukee Bucks on Reddit, but man, like, half our discussions are him being like, hey, kid sucks. Here's another article that was from like 2015. I'm like, fuck. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm like, fuck. Okay. Like, I see it. I know. Mm-hmm. So that's that. Sure. Let's see. Redacted, Squish 41, who is busy today, asks, if kittens were cows, would there be a milk shortage?
I'd imagine no.
I don't know. Is that a reference to something? I don't know.
I don't know. But I'm just going to answer that as a yes or no question. So I'm going to say no.
No. There will always be milk. You can. You can make milk from Dalton Trigg, good friend Dalton. You know, who has the Step Back Mavs. Who I know they had just did a couple of live apps, nice. Which is really cool. But Dalton asks, when will Mavrello trade for Buddy Hield and Rashawn Holmes for once? Yeah.
I mean,
their coach.
I mean, so, like, they've climbed their way up because they were real low in the standings at one point.
Yeah.
Like, they're kind of more in the 12 to 8 range now.
Yeah, they might make that the play-in right now at the moment. We might make the play-in too. So, sure. but right now they're in the play-in. Well, they would be heading towards that. It'd be awesome if Mavrello would make that trade. I don't know if the sentient basketball is able to do that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we'd have to consult Nico first before Mavrello, but I would like to hear Mavrello's thoughts.
I'd love Mavrello, come on the podcast.
Sure.
Let's see. Next question comes from another big Mavs Twitter guy, Kirk Henderson. Kirk's
here, his face
from Mavs Moneyball. Yes.
Did we shout it out earlier?
Yes, we did, and I still need to hang out at the one of their green rooms, dude. It's funny, the app like automatically like deleted from my account from my phone. I just haven't had time to re-upload it. Anyway,
it's a great endorsement from one of our sponsors.
Yeah, it's whatever. Anyway. Kirk asks, if you're Mark Cuban, what does it take for you to move your seats away from the bench?
I mean, I would imagine he has the ability to do that at any time. But he's deciding not to. If there's one thing I've learned about people that like run a particular business, I mean, this is just from my personal experience, in any restaurant or anything, like anytime that I'm like dealing with like a regional manager, for example, I mean, he's the owner, so he's like even higher than that. But whenever I have like a higher up visit, like, you know, my store, whatever, they always have like these grand ideas and they want to make these changes. And it's like, and it's amazing to me how few of them ask the people that are working what works, what doesn't, and allow people to, the people that are actually going to have to make those changes happen. They don't consult them. They just come in and tell you what you need to do. There is a specific confidence and some would argue arrogance to that approach, where it's just like, because I'm this top person, I know everything and how it should be done. And you know what? When you're a billionaire that's, you know, has found out just like what, you know, but listen, Mark Cuban's figured out a lot of things, and he to me seems like a pretty smart guy. So I don't fault him for that particular approach to things. But just you being there doesn't necessarily help. That's been my experience with, you know, a higher up coming in and being like, all right, now let me take a look at these. Let me drum up some business here. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to call out Mark Cuban or nothing, but yeah, there's certain things where it's like, maybe this isn't helping.
I mean, Twitter's already on that. They've been on that since yesterday. Or since like a couple of weeks ago. Anyway, so for me, what would it take for Mark Cuban to physically move his seat? I think if like someone just like dangled an NFT in front of his face, like you know, like the carrot, you know, like the cartoon with the carrot and the stick, and just like you just gotta do that.
Well, so what it is, it's a picture of a carrot on a stick that you don't actually get to possess, but you can get on a hard drive someplace else. Yes. And there's numerous copies of it, but you have the one with this very distinct code on it, that may or may not be worth money later.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. By the way, I got an NFT from yesterday's game, and I was like, I don't know what to do with this. Like, because they give out NFTs.
What was the NFT?
I got a Devin Harris NFT, like a little like cartoon looking Devin Harris. I was like, okay, this is cool, interesting. I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to do with this. But like, I have physical money in my bank account. So I don't know.
Sure. Like, I guess like what it comes down to is like crypto, from what I gather, and I am probably, it's like, it's at the very least, it's a currency that's math based as opposed to just like the current federal government that just prints money and has reduced the spending power of the actual dollar. So this is kind of the counter to it. But I still don't get NFTs. I'm as a musician, people are like, you need to release your album art as an NFT and all this stuff. You need to release these things. Well, the idea is that, you know, let's say if I sold some specific album art as an NFT, for instance.
Okay.
And then anytime someone sells that, I get a part of that. Like that's kind of, I think that's kind of the thing, is just creating the content out there. And if it basically ever moves, you get like, and then there's some people that like very much want to have a digital thing of something to brag about to their friends. Like much like why does someone spend X amount of dollars to have a Pablo Picasso painting or whatever? But this is just kind of doing that in a digital form, which to me still feels pretty like make-believe. But like there's, I don't know, like that's something that art, like pretty much any person that's a music business or creative business person, they're very much encouraging it to be a part of it. Just because I think enough people were wrong with Bitcoin that this is kind of the correction to it. It feels much like, you know, when, oh God, what was it? It kind of feels a lot like Quibi to me. You know, they're like, guys,
oh, Quibi.
pretty much any app is going to be successful. You just got to be right on top of it, you know, or IGTV. That's a better example. Like Instagram TV. They're like, hey, this is like you'd be on the ground floor of YouTube. You need to do this. And it's just like, because there was enough people that made a lot of money being YouTube people. Yeah. And like IGTV is no more. Like that's not a thing. But like there was a lot of like I've gone to numerous conferences of people saying, like, oh, this is gonna be the next thing. Like you need to get all of the content on this because that's what people are wanting to watch. It's like, no, people want TikTok instead. You know, it's and again, it's just cause yeah, you missed, you know. And so I feel like NFTs are a response to that. Anyways, that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, anyway. We're talking about NFTs on this Mavs podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Maybe Mark will like us again. We'll see.
Maybe.
Let's see. Writer Reviews asks, when will the pain end?
I think you need to calm the hell down. I think that's my thought. We're 11-11, folks. We're the sixth seed in the make Western Conference. Like, make a... Yeah, or... Exactly. Do you know who's also 11-11 right now? Denver. Like, and the Clippers are 12-12. Like, there's some good teams that are ahead of us, or the good teams that are doing just as poorly as us. I mean, like, Minnesota's 11-12, Portland's 11-13. You know, we've got more, we have the same amount of wins as Denver, Minnesota, and Portland. And, you know, that's not terrible company to be in. Like, none of those are, like, as opposed to being in the single win column, such as the Pelicans, the Rockets, and the Thunder. So, like, let's just calm our tits, all right?
Pain won't end until we're all gone. So,
yeah, I guess existence is pain. I'm Mr. B6. Look at me. Yeah.
What a great character. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Next question reminds me of a beer that I had yesterday. Actually, I went to Intrinsic in Garland because me and my wife decided to do make it a date. You know,
sure.
With Intrinsic, so they have a beer called Me Seeks and Destroy.
That's
which is great. I love it. It was actually pretty good. Let's see. Next question comes from Spamoney Peppercorn. Should the Mavs contact the Raptors about Chris Bouchard or the Wiz about Thomas Bryant?
I'd be A-okay with either of those players.
Fuck yeah, dude. Do it. You know,
I'll take an injured Thomas Bryant right now.
Yeah.
We'll wait.
Dude, I've seen Chris Bouchard's name like thrown around a little bit, like an inclusion with Pascal. See, sure. And I'm like, yes, I would do that, like in a heartbeat.
Like, give me all the lanky, talented players you can. Like, please,
yeah. And I love Thomas Bryant. Thomas Bryant, like, even though he's injured or whatever, like, he's still like,
dude's a man.
Like you know, like Daniel Gafford's already like taking up that position. You know, just like let Thomas Bryant, let him go, bro. It's fine. Like,
I would just love to see some actual muscle in the post for the Mavericks. I mean, I know I think we all have some collective fanhood trauma.
Yes. All of us.
CFT. CFT, if you will. The Mavs fan base has CFT for being the Mavericks being a donut team. I think this stems from all of the Shaq-filled trauma of just getting dominated by centers pretty much since...
All 2000s.
Since the Mavericks turned into the Space Horse, we've had issues at center.
Yeah,
and so crazy. I think a lot of Mavs fans think the old, much like how the Browns feel like, oh, as long as we got a quarterback, we'd be great again. I feel like that's kind of the thing that Mavericks fans do, but with a center. Oh, like and granted, when we've had a serviceable center, you know, be it Eric Dampier or Tyson Chandler, we've done fairly well. So it's not completely unwarranted. I don't think Thomas Bryant solves all of our problems, but man, I would like to see.
Yeah.
Like, I'm guilty of this too. Like, I want to see an awesome center on the Mavericks. So yeah. It's not, you know. Yeah.
Let's see. Next question comes from Matt's. How can we convince Mark that good basketball players are basically NFTs? Upshot.
NFPs, man. Non-fungible players.
Yes. Top shot. Just got to show him top shot and be like, hey, look what this guy can do. Like, here you go.
Top shot's the digital cards, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Which are, you know, kind of the same concept, really. But, yeah. You know, okay. I missed that boat.
I still don't understand why basketball cards are suddenly valuable. Is it just because people are buying them now?
It's like the retro thing, I think, you know, like just like they're kind of, you know, like gun waves, like.
Sure. No, yeah. I mean, like I'm all for it. I am A-okay with anything that is a tangible hobby anymore. Like
I think weird.
That's why I'm so against like NFT or not against, but like so resistant to like care about Bitcoin and NFTs is because I'm just tired of the digital space of everything. Yeah. So like the fact that it's like, oh, someone's collecting an actual thing. Cool. Have fun. I'm about it.
Yeah. So that's how we convince Mark that basketball players are NFTs is by showing him Top Shot, which I'm sure he's seen a lot. Anyway.
Sure.
Probably owns
like a couple hundred thousand of it.
Sure he does. Next question comes from Gabriel. What do you prefer, watching a Mavs game or jumping from an airplane without a parachute?
I'm gonna say a Mavs game. Are you okay?
People are just really in their feelings this week. It's fine.
No, it's fine. Just go to therapy.
Watching a Mavs game.
I'll go. You know what? I watched the Mavericks lose to the Washington Wizards, we were completely healthy. I saw Kristaps miss a whole bunch, so many shots. And I still had a great time. I had a beer or two. I danced for one of the little Jumbotron thing. It's a great time. I was not on the Jumbotron, but you know what? I danced in hopes of being on it. And you know what? Even though I did not get the desired outcome, I had a great time.
Man,
yesterday they did the
karaoke thing.
Yes. And
it was Don't Stop Believing, and I was like, God, I hate this song. Like, I've heard this so many times. That,
Don't Stop Believing was like, isn't this ironic that we're singing this like 10 years ago? You know what I mean? Like, it was like a funny, like, oh, you know, that cheesy song. And now it's just...
It's like, unironically, like, people actually like love the song, and I hate it.
I just feel like there are funnier, sillier songs to sing. Total Eclipse of the Heart. Go full bore. Like, I don't know. Share. Why not?
Next question. Let's see. From Mavs Latvia. Are you looking forward to the Winter Olympics? It's a good non-Mavs question.
Yes. Curling is one of my absolute favorite things to watch ever. I'm not joking. I follow the U.S. men's curling team. It is. I think we talked about this like a year ago. Yes, I am that. And is it the biathlon where someone's like skiing and then firing a rifle?
What the fuck is what?
Yeah, I think it's the biathlon. Oh God, I'm messing this up. It's great.
I'm totally down to watch some Winter Olympics. I'm mostly into like the snowboard. Snowboarding is still there, right? Like, I'm mostly into that. If anything, that's like my number one like thing that I will watch.
Okay, the biathlon. It's a winter sport that combines cross-country skiing and rifle shooting.
What the fuck?
That's how you find a woman, all right?
Holy shit, that's crazy.
And actually, normally women are ones
that compete.
It may be gender split. I don't quite remember, but either way, I just find it just like, okay, here's someone that can just like, you know, and again, like it's cross-country skiing, so it's not like the nice like going down a hill and, you know, circling around the little tiny poles or whatever. No, it is like you are just hoofing it. Just really, it's pretty laborious skiing. And then like you go to a target and fire a rifle. God, it's fun. Anyways, so yes, in short, to my very long answer.
Very short question.
for a short question is yes.
So I just saw that it starts in February. So I'm thinking, cool. Like, God forbid the Mavs are down, like, 10 games out of, like, five, whatever.
Are we going to change ourselves to a biathlon and curling
podcast? I'm saying we should just talk about the winter, whatever Winter Olympics we're watching at that point. If the team derails that bad, like, we should just...
Hoops and Hefeweizens become stones and rifles, and yes, I'm about it.
Yeah, let's fucking go. Okay, yeah, but I'm excited for it too. Like, I watch it like very passively, but I'll watch it. So, next question comes from Junior. When is it okay to play Christmas music? Personally, I think only Christmas week.
I appreciate your purity, but I give it a pass in December. I think December is allowed to do all of the Christmas stuff. I think it's right after Thanksgiving, I get annoyed. But I get it. It's like the next major holiday. When it's in October, like when it is like lit Halloween have its time, guys. Like if when it's November 1st, like, no, we still have Day of the Dead that's about to happen. I want to hear anything but Christmas music in November. That's where I get like I'm drawing a line.
I wonder why there's no good like Thanksgiving songs.
It could be because of all the colonialism and the smallpox, but I bet there were good Thanksgiving songs until he killed half the people that lived here.
That's probably right. Yeah. What was I going to say? For me, Christmas, I think all December gets a pass because like there are Christmas songs or like New Year songs even that like they kind of combine a lot, like online sign, all that stuff. Like,
That's like the only New Year song. Yeah. Right? I think it's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. No, I like there's other renditions of that I like too, but like
sure.
You know, I think that gets included sometimes in Christmas music anyway, so like just make it all up until like the 31st, you know, like okay, cool. You know, sure. You can listen to whatever the fuck you want. And also cuz like for me like I get 2 weeks off, so I don't go I get off work on the 17th and I don't go back until like the 3rd or 4th of July. So or January, July. I wish. But you know, so for me it's just like that whole month just reminds me of Christmas.
Totally. So. Yeah.
But I mean 1 week is like that's interesting that
I appreciate your restraint because I think really Christmas gets a little too it's because of late stage capitalism and we need to make as much money buying things we don't need as much as possible. We're not going to go down that route, but ultimately here's the thing is that like even though Christmas has been just co-opted by advertising much like everything else in our current American lifestyle. I appreciate that for once Americans are thinking about other people than themselves. And I still think the spirit of Christmas is still very real. Even though it's misguided and like, I really dig Christmas. Like I still like, but just like it. Okay. Much like the reason that I don't like whiskey in a solo cup, I would much rather have it in a glass. Like it's like time and place. Let's allow Christmas to have its time in its place. I don't need Christmas in July.
Good answer. Let's see. Next question, it's actually two people kind of asked the same thing.
Okay.
So Darren and Pig Champ 12. So Darren asked about, you know, Moses Brown, why is Moses Brown the greatest player of all time? And then Pig Champ wanted to ask thoughts on Moses. So, because I think that's been a kind of a contentious thing on Mavs Twitter and just the Reddit and stuff like that. And it's sad because number one Moses fan isn't on with us today, but I'm like number like six on that totem pole, but and I don't know where you are on Moses, but
I mean he hasn't proven to like the only time that he's had significant minutes were when Oklahoma City was tanking. So as much as I love the idea of Moses, it hasn't come to fruition. And I'm assuming it's because he's just not taking care of the things he needs to in practice. And when he's doing what he's doing in the games, like he's in somebody's doghouse. You know, I don't know. I'm assuming kids. I don't like, that's one thing that we don't see. We don't see the practices. We don't see what they do off the court, but you know, you get up like, what is Dwight Powell doing that Moses Brown is not? And it my guess is it's probably going to be a mental and a hustle thing, because if there's one thing that you can say, you cannot say about Dwight Powell, is that he doesn't try. Like, that's dudes out there busting, whether it's effective or not, we can have all the discussion that we have about that, but like, we've talked about it ad nauseum, but like, I don't know. I love the idea of a 7'2" kid that's young, that's athletic, but you know, when he's been on the floor, like sometimes he looks just kind of lost and it looks like he just kind of does his own thing. And that's really not what we need either. So yeah. That doesn't really seem to be, I don't know. I really don't have a firm stance on it, but like my guess is there's a reason he's not getting play in time. Like Josh Green, I have a bit more of a bone to pick because of Shannon Brown, or I'm sorry, Sheldon Brown. And like, that's why are we not developing someone that we put first round, round stock in, you know what I mean? Sorry, I couldn't think of what.
No, you're good.
I say that. But like, yeah, he was a first round pick. Like, why are we not, have we just decided he's a bad player already? Then he needs to be on the Legends. You know what I mean? Like, make a decision here. Like, are you trying to actually develop this guy? That he needs opportunities to show himself, you know? Like,
yeah.
I think Josh Green is, I think, more a player. Why I'm scratching my head, why is he not getting on there more? And is it because it's going to eat into DFS's minutes, to Reggie Bullock's minutes? I don't think those are like so crucial that we couldn't afford 5-10 minutes a game for this guy to go up there and show what he's got. Maybe he gets a hot hand and starts working. I don't know. Like,
yeah. So going back to the question about Moses Brown. Moses Brown does have the potential to be the greatest player of all time, just like I have the potential to be in the NBA. Sure. thoughts on Moses, man? You know what? I don't know, man. I think him and Josh just need to go to the G League. You know, like, and the thing about the G League with me is that like I want to make sure like the coaches in the G League are running the same systems that the Mavs are. Because I know a lot of teams do that, like a lot of G League and like their affiliates do that, where it's like, I know the Raptors is like a great one. You know, like all their guys like run the exact same shit, you know? Yeah. So when they're called up, they already know all the plays, they know like everything. Right. And I don't know if that's how, you know, the Legends work, which I still think they're still owned by Donnie Nelson, which is really weird. But I don't know. Like, I think Josh Green obviously needs to go to the G League. I think Moses probably needs to go to the G League. I think he has potential to be something great. Even if it's like a 10 to 15 minute guy off the bench. If that's like his ceiling, you know, there's still a need for that in the league, you know, for a big dude who can, you know, potentially post up, grab boards, you know, maybe block a shot or two. But yeah, like, I don't know. Like, it's frustrating because, like, especially with, like, Luka and KP being out, like, you just see, like, the faults are so much more pronounced, you know? Right. And it's just, like, Moses was a throw-in, you know? Like, the Mavs, I don't think, wanted him originally. And then the Celtics were like, no, take him, you know?
Right.
In the Josh Richardson trade. So it's like, you know, well, fuck, okay, like, if they didn't want him, you know, his best time was with Oklahoma City when they're tanking. Like, he probably still could be on that team right now and they would still be tanking, you know? Right. So I don't know, man. It's frustrating. It's, you know, and I know like Mavs fans, I think every fan base really, they latch on to players who don't get a lot of playing time for like young guys. Like, it just every team has that. And unfortunately for us, we have at least like two or three of those guys, you know, which is probably one or two too many. You know, for this team, like every team has a player that everybody's like, why the fuck is this guy here? But we love him anyway. So, yeah, you know,
we will always love the idea of potential, but potential means it has not happened yet.
Exactly.
Tried and true is better.
That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, those are all the questions. So that was it.
Guys, thank you so much for submitting questions. We are very thankful to be talking with these to all of you Mavs fans out there. We are very appreciative of anyone that submits questions, but as well as just thank you guys so much for listening. It means a whole lot. You can find Ruben at Reddit Mavericks. You can find me at Don_Denim. And a shout out to Squish at Squish41. He is also a very funny Mavs Twitter personality, and we are very much support him. You can read all of our articles at mffls.com. Check us out. But in the meantime, this has been the Hoops and Hefeweizens podcast. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Later, guys.